Hello, and welcome to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. I'm Kelly Taylor. Today on the show is a family I invited to come on with the hope of sharing their story just a little bit further. Jen and Samir Sarkar are the loving parents of 6-year-old Carter and 8-year-old Sophia. Their son Carter was diagnosed with Sanfilippo syndrome, which is sometimes referred to as childhood Alzheimer's. It's a progressive brain disorder in little children caused by a missing enzyme. Carter's parents say the disease will soon begin shutting down critical areas in their son's brain, losing his ability to talk, swallow, walk. He'll eventually suffer from severe dementia and pass away. His parents, like all parents would do, are fighting to give Carter his rightful chance at life. They started a GoFundMe with the goal of raising $1 million in a month. The money will go to fund a clinical trial that can potentially give him that chance at life, which we talk about. I also got the pleasure to meet Carter, who joins us during the episode. And before we get into it, please visit savingcarter.com to read more about this incredible family and how you can help out Carter. And share their story on social media using the hashtag #SavingCarter to further spread the word.
From the Fox 11 studios in Los Angeles, California, it's the Olympic and Bundy podcast with host Kelly Taylor.
So I was raised in Columbia, and I came out here when I was 8. And then I started out in, like, North Hollywood, then Beverly Hills, then back to North Hollywood. And then I went to school in Whittier and lived in Hollywood for a little bit and then moved to Castaic, where I met her.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. Yes, you've been all over the place. What's Castaic like? I'm actually so curious. I haven't been there.
I love it. To tell you the truth, it's very small, like, small town vibe that you get off of it. So, like, and we have the lake, which is nice to go to and, like, just kind of, like, walk around and stuff.
But it's, like, it sounds far, but it's 10 minutes away from Magic Mountain.
Yeah.
So it's not that far. And it's basically, like, considered Santa Clarita, but Castaic's its own little city. And it's the only one that still is, like, has dirt roads and everyone kind of knows each other. And there's only, like, one convenience store that everyone, you know, so you get that small feel vibe. And
I'm from originally from Cincinnati, and that's one thing that my husband and I really miss is is that like being in LA, there obviously are benefits in a lot of ways, but the small town thing, every time we go back just to, you know, visit family, people will be in their front yard when you drive down the street and wave, and like, they don't know us. Why are they waving? You know, like, they're just...
You're like, why are you doing that creepy? Yeah. Like, if someone did that out in LA, you'd be like, what is
going people, on? If you just say hi to a stranger on the street, they're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so, it's stuff like, I commute 7 days a week from Castaic to LA, and you get used to it. If you, like, hook it up right off the freeway, it's worth it because you get so much more land for your money. And that's what first took me out there was, like, what can I afford that I'm happy to call home because I'm not very handy?
Right.
And so things are going to take forever. And, like, even in our relationship, she's the handy one, and she puts together the toys, and I'll keep the kids entertained, make sure they stay out of her way.
Wow, so Jen, you're the handy one. You're the fixer-upper.
She's the fixer-upper.
I would say that that's, like, a reversed role within us, but it's okay. It works. So, but, like, there's other times where I'm like, nope, I'm calling the handyman, but I'll take credit for it.
I'll still do the, like, the spiders and, like, you know.
I won't do
those type of things, but.
I won't do those.
I like that. I like that. What was your morning like today before
this
you drove in? Like, what's just, like, a typical day for you? Because it does seem like you're, it sounds like you have a pretty busy schedule, right?
Well, like, it's amazing, but it's definitely hectic. Every morning starts out with one of us two getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep. We take turns because Carter's going through a time right now where he doesn't go to sleep until like 2 or 3 in the morning. And during those times, because we are limited with time with him, both of us usually don't like to, like, miss out on those. So if he's up, we're up. And we're trying to keep our 8-year-old daughter from not feeling like we're having a party without her, and trying to keep her, like, you know, hey, it's okay, you can go to sleep. And she's like, no, but I hear Carter, you guys are having fun. So typically it's a pretty crazy household until about midnight. And then we wake up in the morning, we get our daughter ready to go to school. Usually Carter sleeps in, and one of us two stays with him, and the other one drops her off at school. I usually tend to go to the office and try to knock out a couple of things for a couple of hours. She'll get everything going that we need in the house and with Carter, and vice versa. Sometimes we'll switch the roles up, but that was this morning.
So Is it summer break now?
Yeah, so he's on summer break for 2 weeks, and then he'll go back for summer school for about 3 weeks, and then he'll take another break for about 3 weeks. So that's always fun, but it's always hectic because it takes about 2 weeks to get him back into a normal schedule again. So
yeah, gotcha. Do they go, your other daughter, Sophia?
Yep.
Yeah. Do they go to the same school?
No. So okay. Carter goes to a public school, and he's in the most severe special needs class, and then Sophia goes to a typical school. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. I noticed that he has a couple nicknames.
Yes.
Is C-Money one of them?
Yep.
C-Money's one of them for sure. And I feel like across the board, parents in general, and just people, you know, we all like to, anytime that you love somebody, you want to give them a nickname.
Oh, yeah.
And so right away, like even for Sophia, my daughter, we call her Fia, Fia Pie, S-House, you know, and then for Carter, it became C-Money. And sometimes he dresses up as with all of his sister's clothing.
Clothes.
So we call him Cartelina for
Cartelina.
That one moment.
I like it. C-Money is a great nickname.
Thanks.
I feel like C-Money is like, it's a cool nickname.
Thank you.
Know?
We like it.
Yeah, heck yeah.
We wanted to do a shirt with a chain, like with a pretend chain that had something saying C-Money on it.
Yeah, that'd be great. So do you guys like to go, when you can, when the opportunity allows, what's like, just out of curiosity, some fun things that you enjoy doing, all four of you as a family?
I would say that our happy place would definitely be Disneyland. We go quite often.
Do you?
Yes. And it's great because it's a place where he knows. And times, you know, Sanfilippo will come in and he'll get very, you know, agitated, or he needs a break or something. And it's just overstimulation. But basically, we'll go there and he'll run around his energy and tell us all about Mickey. And then every time it's different. So it's really sweet because you always get a new way of looking at it through your child's eyes. And our daughter loves it because she's like, cool, I get to go ride roller coasters and I get to go see the princesses and run.
For us, you know, I feel like all of our lives we were thinking about like the connection between Carter and Sophia. For me, I never had a sibling. My wife's got 5 siblings, but I know the importance of like family and wanting to keep that bond so tight, you know?
Right.
So when we do things, we it's so cool to see Sophia and him interact and see how they each view it. Separately and together, and it's not that far, so it's a great place to get in and get out, and it's our happy spot. It helps us forget a little bit about what's going on in our real world.
Oh, 100%. You can probably for a time just be.
Yeah.
You know, just
exactly.
Get some churros.
You know,
maybe a Mickey
candy.
Pretzel.
Yeah.
Who knows? Like
a little something, whatever they serve there. I don't
right.
know.
We're all about the snacks and the ice cream bars, and
they got wine now too. Which is
do they?
Great, yeah, California.
Yeah, California Adventure. You can get a beer or wine or a little margarita, walk around the park.
Good to know. Yeah, I still haven't been there. I need to go. So I definitely want to just talk about, on in layman's terms, Sanfilippo. I've heard it described as, it's often, when you guys did a story with our reporter, described as childhood Alzheimer's. There is another neurodegenerative disease called Niemann's pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's sometimes refers
to it as well. Yes, that's correct.
But it's different, obviously, in some way. So Sanfilippo is missing an enzyme that you need to basically block build up in your brain, this like toxic material that builds up in your brain, right?
So Carter misses a specific enzyme needed to break down long sugar molecules called mucopolysaccharides. That's just the fancy term of it. But
so
basically
fancy.
What happens is because they can't break it down, that's what creates the buildup in the waist. So like, for instance, you and I were able to do that. So our body just disposes of it immediately.
Yeah.
But with him, it builds up within each and every cell. So it not only affects his brain, but his entire body.
Everything. Okay. So walk me through. Sometimes it can be misdiagnosed early on as maybe like ADHD, like just various...
Autism, a whole bunch of different stuff, yeah.
Did that happen with you guys?
No, we were very, 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 and I can't stress that enough, very lucky that we have the team of doctors that we have. Basically, his GI doctor noticed when he was about 3 that he wasn't potty trained. And so he was like, hey, just to be on the safe side, like, I don't want to leave any stone left unturned. Will you guys go see the geneticist? And I'm like, sure. So we go in, give this whole family history of his side, of Samir's side, and my side. And the geneticist walked in and took like one look at Carter for about 30 seconds and then goes, I think he might have Sanfilippo syndrome. And I'm like, come again, what did you just say?
Right.
And we had no idea what it was. That was the first time we even heard of it. But come to find out after talking to so many different families who have Sanfilippo children, like their doctors had seen them for years and they were misdiagnosed as autistic or they were slammed a different thing. And for us to even have a doctor who knew what it was, let alone to just be able to look at him and see those facial characteristics on it and think like, no, I think we should test for this. It's unheard of. It really is.
We were like super blessed and lucky. Because we were able to right away figure out our game plan and also use that time to make memories and use that time to expedite everything that we thought we were going to do down the line to make sure that, you know, our family would be okay.
Oh, yeah. So that was when Carter was three.
That happened when he was three.
Wow. So did you guys initially, out of curiosity, go to the doctor because he wasn't picking up potty training? Like, you just noticed a couple.
So actually, things? Carter also has chronic pancreatitis. So when he was just shy of two, we spent about 14 days in the hospital trying to figure out what was going on. They ended up finding out that he has chronic pancreatitis. They put a central line in, which means that it's like a port that goes in your chest. And he was fed on TPN and liquid lipids, which is fat. So it's basically all liquid form of nutrition. And he was on that for a year and a half.
Gotcha.
And so then once all of that happened, we just assumed like, okay, he'll catch up. Like there's no, you know, and all of our doctors kept saying like, he will, don't worry. It was just because of the hospitalizations, he'll catch up. But then when we had the meeting with RGI, he was like, you know, with his speech delay and with him not doing PT as well or physical therapy and his, you know, his fine motor skills are a little bit behind. Let's just make sure it's not something else because I want to verify that. And so, I mean, it's all thanks to Dr. Kim, to tell you the truth, because if he didn't pick it up as early as he did and he wasn't watching him as closely, we could still be out there not even knowing this and just be like, well, why is our son losing? Yeah. You know, why isn't he not gaining as quickly as the other children still?
Yeah. So since you've been aware of Sanfilippo and out of curiosity, do you feel like there are, for the most part, genetic doctors or like pediatricians are aware of this?
I think for the most part, not, you know, from what we were told, they haven't seen it enough to where they could actually say, oh, this is what it could be. Mm-hmm. And they can do something about it, like have you get it genetically tested.
Right.
So in our experiences, but that was, you know, two, three years ago when Carter was diagnosed. So maybe now.
Maybe not.
I know that, you know, they don't have up to date the registry of all the children that are affected, but it's definitely thousands of children. It's not as rare where like it's just a few or 100. It's in the thousands. It's just that so many times we meet families that got diagnosed a year ago and their child is 8. And you know, and then even worse off, we have a family that they unfortunately their child was diagnosed at 8 and passed away a year later. Mm-hmm. And that's just like crazy, you know, to think about those type of things.
Yeah, it seems like early awareness probably is key.
Oh, absolutely. And it's kind of like with anything. If you have a child with a speech impediment, the earlier that you get them into therapy, the better it is for them. And I strongly believe that because he was such an early diagnosis and because we were able to give him, you know, not only speech, PT, OT, horseback riding, and music therapy. I think that's why he's doing so well, to tell you the truth, is because we have just been like, nope, we're going to therapy and this is what we're doing today and so on and so forth. So
so there's four types. Mm-hmm. So it's referred to as MPS3.
Yep.
Is that right?
That's right.
And there's four types.
Yes. So there's type A, type B, type C, and type D. So Carter has type A, which is the most common and the most severe. And when I say the most severe, that means that those children typically pass away sooner than the other children. Type B is the second most common. Those children typically will live into their later teens. And then C and D are both rare, but they are seen. For instance, we have a friend out in New York. Her son's name is Jonah, and he has type C. So she does a lot of research and trying to fund different clinical trials and treatments for type C and D. So, I mean, right now, there's really only treatments out there for type A and B.
Wait, Jonah's just begun?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was reading about them because they just, if I remember correctly, the parents took him to the doctor. I don't know the initial reason, but the doctor noticed that he had an abnormally larger size
head. Yep.
So just this like astute doctor noticed that. And then this is what really is striking to me about any any family that's dealing with a rare disease is that, so their doctor said, all right, it's up to you guys to get the treatment going. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of, normally you think about going to a doctor or a hospital and saying like, okay, what do we do? Yep. But it's the opposite.
And that's kind of like an eye-opening experience for us, because like when they just finally gave us the diagnosis, I'm like, all right, cool. Like, being so naive about it, I'm like, so what's the cure? Like, what's the plan? They're like, well, there isn't one. Just go home and love your child. And you're like, what do you mean? Like, how do you do that? So immediately it was looking into foundations. And as soon as we read the Cure Sanfilippo Foundation mission statement, we're like, this is home. Like, mm-hmm. These are the people who are making the changes. These are the people who are leading the way in finding a cure. So we need to be a part of them. And we immediately reached out to Glenn and Kara. And I mean, they have done some remarkable things in the short time that they've been there. And they do always give thanks to the foundations and people before them who have helped pave that path. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they have so many different research and grants going on. And they're really, you know, our huge support system, to tell you the truth, because they're not just a foundation who's helping our children. They also connect families. And that's
because you have a sense of community. You know, yeah. I feel like there's so many people in your life and in your corner that when you go through these type of things want to help you, but they don't necessarily know how, because you're going through so many emotions, and it's understandably so that they don't know, you know.
Right.
So then you meet these other families and you become friends because you have something in common, that your child is unfortunately dying.
Yeah.
And so you share these emotions and you share what actually works, what doesn't work. And you know, as anyone's pain becomes your pain. So as we are getting to meet these families and we hear about their children having to be sent to the hospital and passing away, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like taking away a small part of my heart each and every mm-hmm. time. And then I can't stop to think about, you know, mm-hmm. what's going to happen with Carter, and what can I do, and why am I not doing it fast enough, and how can I get it done?
Yeah, it almost like propels you to
right.
to drive here today to like keep doing these things.
Well, we're huge believers that with awareness will come a cure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the more awareness we get out there, the better it is. But I mean, right now there's no current treatment option for Carter. There's nothing that he can be a part of, which is why we're trying to raise this money, which is why we've started the SavingCarter.com and created the video, because without an option, we know what his next year, mm-hmm. his next 5 years are going to entail. It's going to entail pain. It's going to entail agony. He's going to lose his speech. He's going to lose the ability to walk. He's going to lose the ability to swallow and eat on his own. He'll develop seizures and he will pass away. That's the reality that we're facing, but we're trying everything we possibly can to change that.
So you guys start this GoFundMe. Mm-hmm. How long has this been in the works? I mean, because you make the video. Like, I'm curious, why right now, this month? Did something...
So we've been battling so many different avenues and figuring out if there's doors that can be open in other directions.
Right.
And once all of those doors closed, we realized, okay, this is it. You know, so we went and spoke to our foundation and figured out, how much money do we need? What do we need to do to provide Carter and his buddies an opportunity that aren't getting an opportunity right now? And so that's what the number came out to, is $1 million. If we can, as soon as we can raise $1 million, they're able to put their money together and get this funded and get the ball rolling. So the reason why we made it in 1 month is, if we could honestly figure out a way to raise it in 24 hours, we would have. Because every single moment matters so much, you know. And Carter just turned 6 2 weeks ago, and you know, ever since we found out about Sanfilippo, birthdays have had such an emotional roller coaster ride for us, because you're strapped with a time clock, and each birthday that comes, it's getting closer to, unfortunately, him passing away and losing things. So we muster up whatever we need to, and we always rally and figure out the best way to make it special for Carter, when inside we're dying and we're crying. And, you know, so with all that being said, that's why we made it a month. It's to see what we can do as a community, as a world, as a people, to help out Carter, help out his buddies. And it's been amazing. You know, we're so incredibly humbled and blessed with the response that we've gotten, with all of the connection of love and support that we've received.
Yeah. So I want to get back to your community in a second. Related to the clinical trial, mm-hmm. it's some type of enzyme replacement therapy.
Yeah, so it's a novel enzyme therapy replacement.
And so is that just something that the doctors that you've talked to say, all right, this is in the works, various people around the world are
kind of working on this. Let's try it.
So the enzyme therapy that we're actually trying to use and to get funded, this trial that we're trying to fund, is it's been used in a very similar type disease, and it showed remarkable results within the body and the brain. So what they're doing right now is scientists are working on a way of adapting that treatment to work in this type of Sanfilippo that Carter has. And basically it would be either weekly or biweekly injections, either by port or IV. And he would just have to go in like clockwork like that. So I know that other therapies have it as well. Neiman Pick has one. Hunter syndrome, which is MPS2, they have an ENT as well, which is an enzyme therapy replacement. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So the month, let's say, you raise the funds. How quickly from that time until treatment starts?
So after everything kind of goes, we're looking at a year to 2 years. Mm-hmm. Our goal is a year and a half. And if it gets done sooner than that, then that's amazing. So basically a year and a half is what we're aiming for in order to get it into the children at that point in time.
Gotcha. And do you have to go through the FDA?
So yeah, the FDA has to, there's a lot of T's and dots. I mean, it's a process.
Which is why it's a year and a half.
Yeah, which is okay. Why I'm sure you can imagine. So, yeah, the FDA has to do it. They have to approve it. And then Carter would have to apply just like every other child, just because even if we raise this money, which we're hoping we do by the end of June, that doesn't guarantee him a spot. We have to go in. The doctors have to assess him and see if he's a good candidate for it or not. But that chance is something that we're willing to take, because if it shows as great of the results as we believe it will in a year or two after they first started giving it to the first child, then we can hopefully get it under compassionate care.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
My throat. Careful, this is actually one thing I was sort of looking up online and I couldn't tell. Is there, with Sanfilippo, is there any kind of like prenatal or neonatal screening?
So we're actually trying to get that up and running.
Oh.
But basically right now the only way to test for it is if you believe your child has it, you can go in and ask your doctor to do a urine sample. Mm. If that comes back, you know, not, for instance, Carter's came back really weird. So they ended up doing a full genome on both Samir, myself, and Carter, and then that's how we got to it. But no, not at this time. The only time that they will do that is if you have Sanfilippo in your family lineage. Mm-hmm. So if a sister you know is a carrier for it, or if you had a cousin who had it, that's really the only way that they'll do it.
Gotcha.
From my understanding. At least that's what my doctors have told us. So.
Gotcha. Okay. So the one thing that I also wanted to talk about was your community.
Yeah.
For Carter's fifth birthday, you guys had Halloween in May.
Yep.
Which is really sweet. And the fact that your neighborhood.
It was amazing. It was amazing. It was funny because we came up with the idea, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks prior. Because Carter loves Halloween. That's like his favorite time of year. And he would say, and like starting in February, like, let's go trick or treat. Let's go get candy.
Does he like to dress up?
Most of the time he does. Yeah. But he prefers the pajamas instead of like the actual costumes.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm like, cool. You're still dressing up, friend. Like, it's cool. Are you singing? Here, you're out of your eye thing.
So, yeah, so he would always bring up Halloween and wanting a trick-or-treat. So we started out small with, like, setting up little bowls in our backyard. And we'd go, okay, Carter, let's go trick-or-treating. And we'd go in our backyard, and his sister would do it. And she loves candy. Who doesn't? So she's all up for it. And then he started realizing, like, wait a minute. Like, I want to go to other people's homes. So we just asked, like, one neighbor, like, hey, is it cool if tomorrow we come and knock and we'll bring you a bag of candy and you hand it to Carter and say trick or treat, we'll go back home, everything will be great. He was like, yeah, no problem. But then he wanted to go to more homes and more homes. So as we started thinking about what to do, we couldn't think of anything like that would be more fun for him. So we put together a note for our neighbors, kind of addressing to them what Carter had and that we totally understand if they can't do it. But if they could, we would bring them a bag of candy and that we would be coming around just for an hour. And that would be amazing. And the outpour of love and support from our community was phenomenal. Amazing. We thought maybe we get 5 houses and that's a win, and we're like super excited.
27 to, it was now, like, I think it was like 32 was the end number, but it was crazy because we were just going to do our street, but then the street overheard about it and they're like, no, you need to come over here too. So, I mean, it was
And even furthermore,
crazy.
People were like, and just know that we're decorating. So like almost all the homes decorated all of their house, and many people were like, we love Halloween too and we love Carter. And So it was amazing. And we ended up getting like almost 150 people that showed up to our community to trick or treat. And we went in masses, and it was just so amazing. Like, you know, just thinking about it.
The best time. Like, and we got home and it was just, he just like seeing all the people in their costumes and saying hi to them and stuff. So that was definitely a memorable birthday. And to this day, I still am just taken back about how much those people took so much time out of their day just to make his birthday a little bit better. And that's something that we can never thank them enough for. So.
Yeah, that's really sweet. Has there been, so with your current savingcarter.com, the GoFundMe, there's been, I've noticed on your Instagram, there's been like tons of people who have been sharing it.
We've been very, very
like,
lucky.
I wrote down Snoop Dogg.
Snoop
like,
Dogg?
Yeah, that Genie Bus. Like, yeah.
Amazing.
You know, like various people, Green Day, you know, just like random people. Was this every time, did you expect this to happen? Like, because I assume you're just like, all right, let's do this. We're going to do everything we can. Let's just put it out there. But I feel like it's like,
it's
really
definitely picking
traction.
Up steam. And I can't thank enough people who have been, you know, tweeting celebrities. That's how Genie Bus actually came about. One of my good friends from middle school tweeted her and was like, you know, these people, they need your help. And she not only liked it, but she donated it. And I was like, what are you talking about right now? And that was kind of like a pivotal point where I was like, wow, this is turning into something. Like, you know, we're going to hopefully get more people. And then Snoop Dogg did it. And I mean, today Meghan Trainor tweeted about it. And Amanda Seyfried, she just donated $3,000 today, which I'm just, like I'm speechless to tell you the truth.
Has there been anyone in particular that maybe you in your own lives that you know, or just someone in the ether that has reached out to you or and surprised you in some way?
Well, what do you mean by that?
Just like certain people in your lives, like certain people that have sort of stepped up and helped.
I think that we always say that, you know, we're so thankful for the people in our community, the people who are our friends and family. And, you know, they are the real reason why all of this is driving, because they care about our family, they care about Carter, that they're trying to make as much movement as they possibly can.
Yeah.
Would you want to add anything to that? I mean, I know I'm not answering that as...
No. I'm just out of curiosity, because I feel like sometimes, I don't know if you guys are this way, but I'm assuming every single time something like that happens, you're probably like... Like, the next time you see someone share
something,
you're like...
Oh, completely taken aback. Yeah, like, and it's like, you want to share it, but at the same time, you don't want to be like, oh my gosh, look at this. Like, you know, because you don't let people... Because there's so many ways that it could be taken about, whether someone thinks you're being braggadocious or whatever. But it's, to us, it's exciting, because it's like, these are people that we all, in a sense, look up to. We all have seen out in public, and, you know, whether we've listened to their music or like what they're saying or seen them in movies, it's still amazing to have them know about Carter's story, and not only know about it, but share it with their following, because that's
and
huge.
Care so much. And, huge. You know, everyone's got so many things going on in their own personal life. So we know that for them to take the time out, anybody to take the time out to care, to share, to donate, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Do you feel like as parents, just having become parents and having become a parent to Carter, In what ways do you feel like you've grown as individuals? Because I assume that there's probably been some big transformations, right?
Definitely. You know, I feel like, you know, it just in general in regards to marriage, you know, this could be the type of situation that can make or break certain individuals and certain relationships. I'm very thankful that for Jen and I, it's only made us stronger. I feel like when you're in love with somebody and, you know, you guys are enjoying everything about life, you know that there could be tough times ahead, but it's not until you're in those tough times that you get to see the true color of the individual, and you get to really appreciate the smallest and the biggest details of who they are. And when this situation came about, before it came about, I was totally in love with my wife. She did so much. She was amazing, amazing mother, like just all these great qualities about a woman that you could just, you couldn't ask. I mean, I won the lottery, you know, that's how I felt. But then when we were dealt with these cards with Carter, it was like overtime, and Jen just kept working and figuring it out. And it's just amazing, you know? So yeah. I felt like our relationship has gotten stronger. And as individuals, definitely, you know, there's always so much sacrifice that you've got to give when you start having children. You know that you're going to give up some things, but when something like this happens, you want to spend all of your time with your children and your family, and you want to make memories. So I think definitely it's helped us grow a lot and focus on not only the positive, but the little things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. and really cherish them.
I think it's given us a lot of perspective. Like, don't sweat the small things, because there's so many other things out there that can really, you know, be worse off. So, you know, it doesn't matter that someone cut you off on the freeway that day, you know, or it doesn't matter, you know, if you see a mom in the grocery store and like you don't have your kids with you at that moment, let her go in front of you, because right. you know that she's going to get home and she's still going to have three kids who are crazy with her. So,
yeah. Oh, definitely. Another thing in learning about your story is it just reminds me of if we were talking right now in, say, 1980, I just feel like with the invention of the internet, it probably has really helped you connect with doctors, other people who, other San Filippo families, raising money in general, getting the word out. I feel like it's just remarkable how...
I don't know how people did it before. I feel incredibly horrible for them, because no matter how tough it is now, it's 1,000 times easier now. You know, to get the info across, to communicate, to unite, to have like a good battle front, you know, with enough people behind you. The internet has been, social media has been amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Because I feel like before you would just be really at the mercy of your doctor, whoever, you know, recommends this person, you know, and just for your own.
You know, it's crazy. One of the tactics that Jen and I did a year and a half ago as trying to raise awareness was we wrote 780 letters to the
various
Lakers,
NFL teams,
to NFL teams,
NBA
you know?
Teams, and anyone that we could think of. Like, we wrote to Obama and President George W. Bush, who actually wrote us back. But I mean, we sent out,
and it was just
it was like
a more
letters.
We were trying to figure out a more personal way to share our story. And at the time with the letter, it wasn't about donating. All we wanted them to do was just to share this information, because, you know, at that time we felt, and we still do now, that knowledge is power. Yep. And if a lot of people are talking about it, maybe somebody can know somebody who knows somebody who can figure this out. Right. And then our children can live and everyone will be cool.
Maybe if a child is diagnosed with a different thing and this is really the culprit, that they can actually get that proper diagnosis. That's the other thing. So, I mean, overall, I think,
So we went old school with it. It didn't work as well.
Social media. 700 letters.
It, full on. Like, I hand wrote each person's name, added a couple of pictures of our family in it, folded them up, licked the envelope, sent them all out. Pat the Patriot from... the Patriots. He actually tweeted about it, which was awesome. So I was like, the Seattle Seahawks, they sent back a letter. A couple of the Patriots actually like wrote us emails saying like, thank you so much, you know, and they were going to the Super Bowl at the time. So I was like, go to work, like go win.
Like, wait a second. You're sat down writing this letter. Oh my gosh. That's incredible. That's cool that George W. Bush wrote you back?
We have it at our house. It's a frame thing. I mean, that was a surprise. We went to the P.O. box and I saw like this nice letterhead and I'm like, what is this? It's so fancy. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, so that was interesting.
Oh, I love that. Another question that I have thought about in learning about your story is Sophia's 8 and Carter 6. How much do you talk about San Filippo with them and the symptoms? And I mean, over time, I imagine you probably talked about it more. Yeah. What's that been like?
So Carter mentally is 3. So he doesn't really know what's going on. But for instance, with Sofia, she knows what Sanfilippo is. She knows that it affects her brother's brain. She knows that that's why he's a little bit different and why he can't think like a normal six-year-old can. She does not know that this is the disease that will potentially take her brother away from her. And we're trying our best to not have to have that conversation with her, even though we know one day we probably will. It's so heartbreaking to have to think about telling your 8-year-old, hey, by the way, your best friend, he's going to die if we don't find a cure or treatment. Like, how do you break that to a kid? So Right. Everything that we explain to her is always at an age appropriate level.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I have tissues.
So obviously people can donate to savingcarter.com, which is basically a redirect to the GoFundMe.
To the GoFundMe, yep.
Is there any other ways that people can help? Like, as far as, say, being a part of the Cure Sanfilippo Foundation, mm-hmm. or, I mean, what's like.
So people could actually set, if they don't want to donate directly to GoFundMe, they can donate at curesff.org and 100% of the proceeds will go directly to the thing. All we ask is that you put in the memo line saving Carter so we can add it in as an offline donation because every single bit helps. Another thing that people could do is just share. Like, honestly, the more you share, sharing is caring. That's what I keep saying on our Instagram, because it's true. The more that you share, the better off we are. And even further than that, like, if this touches your heart in some way, shape, or form, tell a coworker about it. Tell, your neighbor about it. Just tell someone about it, because by you sharing that story and helping us spread this, information around, it's helping. Whether you think it is or not, it is. So, right.
Yeah, you guys are nonstop.
No.
Seriously, just nonstop.
Like, all day long.
Ever since following your social media accounts, it's you guys doing it, right?
Yeah. It's me.
Yeah. I mean, it's nonstop, right?
I'm so thankful that Instagram hooks up to Twitter and Facebook, because if I had to do three separate posts, I'd be like, oh my gosh, no, I'm not doing this right now. That's been fun, but I think it's fun when I'll go on and I try and retweet pretty much every single person who has shared it. I try and give everyone love, because I'm thankful that you're taking time out of your day to help us and help our son. So I try and go on and I do it. And then that's occasionally when you'll see some of these big name celebrities up there and you're like, oh my gosh, they heard about it. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. So, it's nonstop. But I mean, I don't think any other parent would do it any differently if it was their child. I think every parent would do exactly what we're doing, which is push as hard as we can to, raise this money, so mm-hmm. and help their kid.
But yeah. Well, you guys are trucking on through. Seriously.
Thank you.
It's just, I can't even, it's just very inspirational, and just seeing how much, like, just the fact that you guys drove down here and you're doing interview after interview, and I mean, I don't know. Obviously, you're doing whatever you would, being a parent and having a kid and just doing everything you can.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate that, honestly. But it goes back to the same thing that we've been saying on our social media, because this is how we truly feel. It takes a village to raise a child. So each person who, like yourself, who has asked us to come in and hear our story, you're a part of our village, and that's so meaningful. Or, all the different news stations who've come out, or the person who's been sharing everything on our social media, like, hey, check this out, or hey, this person retweeted. You all make up our village, and we're so incredibly blessed and thankful to have you all a part of it, because without you, we wouldn't be able to give Carter this chance. So a lot of gratitude.
Yeah, well, whatever positive vibes we can put out there, whether it's, prayer or just mm-hmm. whatever you believe in, I'm putting it out there for you guys.
Thank you.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. We really appreciate that.
Brought the mic at the perfect time, man. He's like, that's it. Bam. Dishes are done.
Thank you for listening to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. Don't forget to visit savingcarter.com to read more about Carter and his family, watch a video about them, read more about the disease, what the money is going to fund, and share their story on social media using the hashtag #SavingCarter to further spread the word about this. I'm Kelly Taylor, and thank you very much for listening.